The text for this sermon will be the portion from St. John's Gospel just read. In the name of Jesus, Amen. For many of you, this has been a momentous week as you've received your first calls into the holy ministry. This reminds me of my first call at the end of 1970 to serve as junior chaplain of the Lutheran Teachers College in Papua New Guinea, called Balob Teachers College. That Lutheran Teachers College didn't have a fancy Latin motto. Its motto was two simple words in English: to serve. At the time, I didn't fully appreciate what a fine choice of a motto this was. And I think I understand it better now, especially if it's understood Christologically. Our Lord Jesus Christ came not to be served, but to serve, says St. Mark's Gospel. Not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Our text contrasts two ways: the way of self-interest and the way of self-sacrificing service. The first way, the way of self-interest, is exemplified by Caiaphas and his cronies. The second way, the way of service, is exemplified by our Lord Jesus. Let's look first at Caiaphas and take warning from the way that he exemplifies. Verse 47 reads, "The high priests and the Pharisees gathered together the Sanhedrin, and they kept saying to one another, 'What are we doing?'" Not "what we shall do," as the reading put it, but "what are we doing? What are we accomplishing? That this man, because this man is doing many signs." They're comparing their meagre, feeble accomplishments with the great accomplishments of the Lord Jesus, who has just raised Lazarus from the dead. "We're not achieving anything," they're saying to themselves. "We're not getting anywhere, whereas this man's movement is becoming stronger and stronger." In verse 48, we have the significant words, "If we let him go on like this, all will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away our place and our nation." In the Greek text, there's an emphasis on the word "our," hamon, which is placed first, before place and nation. The normal Greek word order would be different. The word "of us" would come at the end. But here it's placed first: of us, the place, and the nation. This is very significant. The Sanhedrin, Caiaphas and the others, have a real proprietorial, possessive attitude towards the church and the temple of their day. That temple they see as our temple. That nation, the Jewish people, they see as our people, the people who belong to Caiaphas and to the Sanhedrin. And this tendency to have a possessive, proprietorial attitude towards the church and God's people is innate in all of us. This human tendency of ownership, if you like, to regard the church as our church, to regard the church building as our building, to regard a school or institution as our institution, to regard a synod as our synod, whereas it's the Lord's, as we know so well, or we should. how many of us haven't heard stories of, say, an elder who, maybe because he built the church or provided the altar furnishings or whatever, tends to regard that particular church as his church, or a pastor who may have the same attitude. The Lord said, My house shall be a house of prayer for all the nations. It wasn't the Sanhedrin's house, it wasn't Caiaphas's house. And the people of Israel were God's people, God's chosen people. They were not the private possession of the Sanhedrin. Then going on to verse 49, one of them, Caiaphas, being the high priest that fateful year, said to them, "You don't know nothing." That's how it is literally in the Greek with the double negative. You don't know anything. And then it goes on in verse 50, and you don't think. The Sadducees and people like Caiaphas, the high priests, were known for their rudeness. And Josephus comments on that in his history of the Jewish people. And here we hear the rudeness coming out. You don't know anything. You don't think. Then going on in the next verse, their self-interest really comes out. Don't you think, or you're not thinking, that it's in your interests that one man should die for the people and not that the whole nation should perish? So here we have the picture of Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin, motivated by self-seeking, self-interest, self-service, proprietorial attitude towards the church, and so forth. And what does that all lead to? It leads to jealousy of the Lord and his growing influence amongst the people, and ultimately to murder. Now Caiaphas, who is the high priest that fateful year, unwittingly prophesies concerning the servant that one man should die for the people and that the whole nation should not perish. We all know what he intends by that statement. And our text ends with the words, "From that day on, they plotted to kill Jesus." Their plans are set in concrete. From that day on, they're out to get him. But Caiaphas is being overruled. His words are being overseen and overruled by the Lord, under whose permission he had become the high priest during that highly eventful, significant year. And so our words have a deep, rich meaning. They are ironical, if you like, and we all know what they mean, that the Lord himself is to die for the nation and for the whole people of God. But that's the first way that's exemplified in our text, the way of Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin, the way of self-interest and self-seeking. In contrast, we have the way of our Lord, the way of self-sacrificing service. In contrast to the rude, self-interested religious leaders of his day. Let's ponder for a moment how our Lord is spoken about in this text, the great servant who laid down his life for the sheep. He is the one who went around humbly doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil. And as I said a moment ago, we just had an example of that in John, where in the raising of Lazarus story, his great compassion leading him to perform many miracles of healing, but these miracles above all being signs of who he is, signs that he is the Messiah, the Christ, and the Son of God. And as a result, more and more believed in him. Chapter 12 tells us, the Pharisees said to one another, "You see, we are not getting anywhere. We are not profiting at all. Behold, the whole world is going after him." And then we hear about the Greeks all coming to see him. And so, as I said earlier, their jealousy led to murder. But what does our Lord accomplish through this? Our Lord died what could be called a missionary death. He died as the servant who, through his death, brought about the salvation of the whole nation, of all the Israelite people who would put their faith in him. And not only them, but also all people around the world. As it says in 52, "Not for the nation alone, but in order that he might gather together into one the children of God who are scattered." This echoes the previous chapter, the Good Shepherd story, where we hear how the Good Shepherd would give his life not only for the people of Israel, but for the other sheep who are not of this fold, that many others would hear his voice and there would become one flock with one shepherd. We think also of chapter 12, where the Lord, in reference to his death, describes himself as the grain of wheat who must fall into the ground and die, and in so dying bears abundant fruit. And so two ways are set before us this morning. The way of the Sadducees, of the high priests, the Pharisees, the way of self-interest, the way of self-seeking, self-service, if you like. And the way of our Lord, the way of self-sacrificing service. Our text challenges each of us, and it's particularly fresh for you who are about to take up your calls. It challenges each of us. Those of us who have been in the ministry a long time, to continually examine ourselves. Which is our way? Is it the way of self-interest, promoting our own selfish advantage? Or is it the way of our Lord, who humbled himself and became obedient unto death, in order that through that sacrificial death he might gather together the scattered children of God into one great body around the world? May the way for you and me be our Lord's way, that way of self-sacrificing service to his honour and for the benefit and salvation of many. In Jesus' name, Amen.